Since iTunes only keeps the last 100 episodes of any show, some of our show topics that seem to help the most people are no longer available when people search on iTunes. So, in an effort to make that information available to more people, from time to time we're going to re-air some of our most popular show topics. You can also go to kickitnaturally.com and search for any topic in our search box. For now, enjoy this show that originally aired in 2014.
T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer, probably by now a daddy.
Oh, wow. You mean by the time this airs,
By the time this airs, you're going to be changing diapers and sucking up snot with one of those little sucky things.
Uh-huh. That kid is going to have some good poop.
He is.
He could be a dad and not know it.
Right. There's that possibility, you know. And that little hottie patati voice you hear is coming from you live from the Bay Area. We got Will Schmidt via Skype.
West Side?
Yeah.
That's pretty west, I suppose.
In the house.
Well, thank you for accompanying us, Will Schmidt.
My pleasure.
Will, we miss your presence.
Likewise.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant gifts.
But I get to see some of you on TV tonight, right, Kenna?
That's true. At this point, it'll be all over and done with, though. But I'll just be back looking for a job.
But check out Kenna on Hawaii Five-0 if you haven't. I saw a sneak peek because I'm fancy, and she looks awesome.
Oh, thank you. And I think if you know, this will be past the time, but I think it's either on Hulu or Netflix or something. Yeah. So you can get it. It's called Kuleana is the episode, and it's the first episode back of the new year. So
okay, cool times. I can't wait to see it. It's gonna be
I'm officially dating both the leads now. My husband doesn't know.
Yeah, that would be a score for the ladies for sure.
Yeah.
So with this part two of Rick's adventure.
Rick's saga. Here we go.
We're gonna dig into it some.
We're back about vitamins with Rick. And if you haven't liked us on Facebook yet, what is the holdup?
Rick is gonna be upset with you.
That's where Rick asked all his questions. So go to Kick It in the Nuts. That's where you can like us and we'll post topics. And if you're like Rick, you'll ask questions.
Yeah.
All right.
And then look at that. It worked. We're actually talking about it.
Yeah. It paid off, Rick, your persistence. How about some more info on vitamins, especially multivitamins? What do we need? What do they do? What are the good and bad effects of taking too little or too much?
Yeah, so that was Rick's next question. We covered a little bit in part one, so if you didn't hear part one, go back. We talked about a lot
of... This might be a four-show thing, huh?
Four-show?
Yeah, four-show.
Four episodes?
Because he's got four questions, so it might be four shows.
His first question took a whole show.
Yeah.
Because we kind of started digging into a lot of the water-soluble vitamins and...
Fat-soluble, I remember.
Yeah, so today we're going to cover all the fat-soluble ones. But let's talk about Rick's questions first of all. So he kind of asking about multivitamins and what's the point of that and do we want to do that? And so I kind of feel like with most multivitamins, they're kind of considered crap is what the classification that they would go into. Just because... they put so many binders and junk in them, and most multivitamins that you buy are by the big conglomerate company names, and you're just not pulling a lot of nutrients out of those. And then the worst part that really can be problematic is that a lot of those binders can restrict your body's ability to absorb nutrients even from the food that you're eating, not just from the supplement.
Defeats the purpose.
It does defeat the purpose, except for the sale.
Aw, bottom line.
Yeah. So, but if someone gets a hold of a quality multivitamin, most of them will include small enough doses of each vitamin that it's not such a bad thing. It's almost like we would be eating food from long ago when there was actually nutrients in the food that we were eating. So I'm not totally against it. If a client comes and they're taking a multivitamin, it's not filled with all this junk, I'm usually fine with them taking it because the dose of each particular mineral or vitamin or anything in the supplement is usually not a pushing dose that's going to change chemistry in a big way. I used to be afraid when I would see any kind of ingredient in there, if it went against their body chemistry, that I didn't want them to do any of that. But when you see the doses are so small, it's just kind of sprinkling things around. It's not such a horrible thing if somebody wants to do it. It's just not something that I ever really recommend. Do you, Will?
Not really, no.
Yeah, I never say, here, take this multivitamin.
I don't think I've ever said that, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I think that may have been the first time. I'm excited that we got that recorded, since I may never ever say it again. But I think that Will and I both, we'd rather see a person get nutrients out of the food that they're eating, and that we like to see them do that by improving digestion so that they can do that. Mm-hmm. Say things about that.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned in last episode about the the degraded quality of nutrients in our food, and just due to the way that the food is grown, really. And I would love to do an episode where we talk more about the right way to grow your food, how you can grow your own, why it makes such a big difference in the nutrition value of your food. But it's not like because you're alive now, there's no way to ever get nutrient-rich food again. You can totally do it. But that, I think that's one of the reasons why vitamin supplementation has become more important to implement, because our general food sources are depleted.
Right. So, and if you are going to use a multivitamin, I like to see people use, if they can find a whole food form, and that doesn't mean you buy it at Whole Foods. It means that the vitamin is made from whole foods.
That's what that means. Oh, I've been going to Whole Foods just to,
yeah.
I'm looking for your vitamin.
One other thing that I wanted to mention last week, but I didn't get it in time, was that sometimes for certain people, vitamin supplementation is like super critical. For example, if you are like an infant that, or even like in as you as a fetus develop, if your mother was depleted of a specific nutrient, like a specific vitamin, you may be born with a metabolic need for like crazy more of that particular nutrient than a normal person, which would be almost impossible to get from food in certain cases. Like you might need way more of a specific B vitamin or vitamin A or vitamin E or any of the fat or water soluble vitamins, that you may have developed that that special nutrient need in your body because of a deficiency in it early on in your infancy or in your gestation.
Yeah, Sarah's so healthy. Sarah, that baby's going to come out with a full head of hair, full teeth.
Mowing the lawn.
It's going to be, it's long fingernails.
So one thing that we do like to see people do is we like to see them supplement with things like collagen and bone broth, because especially bone broth, because you can just make it at home, but it's pulling all of these little cofactors and all these nutrients out of those bones and putting them into the water, making them easily accessible so they can get into the system. And it kind of gives you that broad spectrum of all the things that are harder for us to get in our food today. So it can kind of help you fill in a lot of holes of things that are missing that way.
Yeah, it's also great during winter months. Like I have it at least once a day, usually twice, a big pot of broth, soup, and stuff.
Cool. Yeah. If you want to know all this fancy information and how to become a health coach or even just dig into more advanced teachings for yourself or your family, go to healthprocourse.com to learn about Tony and Will's course for coaches. Registration for this course only opens to the public for about a week at a time, so be sure to register for the coach newsletter so you'll be notified when the next registration opens. You'll find more info at healthprocourse.com.
Cool. Let's go to Rick's next question.
All right, Rick's third question, but second show. How about prenatal vitamins? My niece just had a baby and was taking the prenatal vitamins. She said it made her hair and fingernails grow better and faster than ever. Is there any reason women should or should not take prenatal vitamins if they aren't pregnant? Would they be better than a regular multivitamin?
Okay, so this is a good question. And, you see women's fingernails and hair grow a lot better when they're taking specific vitamins, usually because, especially with women, when their hair is not growing or not strong or their fingernails are blitter,
protein.
It's a lot about protein or the inability to break it down, but also about minerals and things and like even calcium and making it accessible and being able to pull it out of your food that you're eating and all that kind of stuff. So if you're taking a vitamin that makes that easier to access, then it can improve hair growth and everything. And that doesn't always count for like men with like male pattern balding. That's usually a different issue that doesn't have to do as much with digestion and that type of thing.
But if you're not pregnant and you take a prenatal vitamin, is there a chance you could get pregnant?
It would make you pregnant. Yeah, it. Just by doing that. Okay.
Your body might think, I'm pregnant. These are prenatal vitamins.
No, and I'm fine with somebody taking a prenatal vitamin, even if they're not pregnant or even if they're not trying to get pregnant. It's just a more concentrated form of a lot of nutrients that a person could use anyways if they're not taking a crap version. You know, that's a really big deal. I mean, that's really important. So most of them are made in a manner that is a little bit juicier, so to speak, than just a multivitamin, because they understand that a pregnant woman is going to lose a lot of those nutrients to the baby. A lot of that is going to go to building this whole other human.
Because babies are basically parasites. They're just sucking the life right out of you.
Sucking all that stuff out of you.
And then when they come out for 18 years, they do it.
Right. Yeah. That's how it works. That's science. It's a good explanation, Kenna. But I'm not against prenatal vitamins. And I think Rick... I can't remember if he asked this in the next part, but he's asking about, can a guy use a prenatal vitamin? And they're really, it's not going to make you a woman if you use a prenatal.
Not going to get man boobs or anything weird?
He's not going to get man boobs, but there are usually some nutrients that are higher in a prenatal vitamin that a man doesn't need as much of, or could even be harmful. Like a lot of times the iron level can be a little bit higher, and it can be dangerous for men to supplement with a lot of iron unless they really know that their iron levels are low.
Because women can get rid of iron because they have periods and stuff. Gosh, I'm smart today.
Right, look at
what
that.
What happened?
Will, you don't have to be here.
Will, I'm sorry, I took over your job.
Kenna's got
I'm a
this.
Practitioner now.
Kenna's got this.
I'm acting this role today.
I had all this stuff to say about iron toxicity and all that, and you guys already covered it. Good job.
Yeah.
So what other things should say things about prenatal vitamins that we haven't? You got anything for that, or what happened to a man taking that, or anything like that?
There's some things in prenatal vitamins like the iron, which we already talked about, which both men and women actually have to be careful about getting too much iron, especially if you're a postmenopausal woman, because then you lose that extra ability to shed out that iron, and people or women in that case are just as susceptible to iron toxicity as men are. But even again, it's kind of like beyond that, when we look at any sort of like multi-nutrient supplement like a prenatal or a multivitamin in general, it's important to look at like the individual, not just like men or women, and see like what does your body chemistry actually need. So when you start, if you do choose to start taking a prenatal or any kind of vitamin or any supplement at all for that matter, it's important to know what you're trying to accomplish and to have a way to track it. So learning how to do the self-tests that we teach in the digestive issues course is really critical. Paying attention to symptoms and the quality of your energy and the shape of your body and the health transformation that you're looking to achieve, having a way to track that is also really important. So I wouldn't just blanketly say, yeah, everybody take prenatals or everybody take a multi or a no. You know, you want to look at like, and beyond even like sometimes blood tests are really, really helpful and can show like for sure you have a deficiency in this or that. But beyond that, the self-tests where we look at urine and saliva levels, your breath rate, and the actual impact that a nutrient is having on you, that can be even more insightful sometimes than blood levels. For example, like I mentioned earlier, some people, because of an early deficiency in a specific nutrient, may develop an intense like need for way more than the RDA of that particular nutrient, and their metabolism is impacted by that. So say, for example, someone needed a super high amount of B6 for their metabolism to function normally. You could look at the blood levels, and if they're taking a supplement of B6, you're like, oh yeah, your blood levels are fine. But then if they ran an experiment and they took like, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 times the RDA, and they saw that all their other numbers like improved and certain symptoms they were dealing with disappeared, then they would know like, hey, I'm one of those oddballs that needs this totally different amount than someone else. So tracking your chemistry can reveal that when you're looking at what is the actual status of your body attained through the usage of that supplement.
Yeah, and another thing too about, especially about prenatals, is some of the nutrients, they really jack up the levels too high. So when I've had clients that I was talking to prenatals about that were pregnant or anything like that, I often suggested that, hey, this particular prenatal, one that I liked was called Pure Encapsulations. That's a pretty solid company. I think sometimes you have to have a health professional to buy them, but I believe there's some people that sell them online too. But in any case, when they're taking these, a lot of times like vitamin D is like way too high because everybody thinks that we need all this vitamin D, and that's a huge problem. We'll talk about that in a minute. But so I'll have them use the prenatal vitamins, but maybe not at the dose that is suggested, because at the dose that is suggested, sometimes they'll crank the D way too high and they're going to have horrible Charlie horses and other problems that come from too high vitamin D. So maybe I'll have them use that just to get that broader spectrum of all these nutrients that could be beneficial, but then maybe use some other things to fill in the holes and to raise them up a little bit, like bone broth and gelatin and things like that, so that they're not having to get so much vitamin D and some of these things that people think are beneficial at these huge levels, which just in most cases are not. If you're a health, fitness, or nutrition professional, check out our other podcast, Six Figure Health Pro. We dig into the latest marketing techniques and business growing strategies for health professionals. To learn how to take your business to the next level, search for Six Figure Health Pro on iTunes or Stitcher, or go to sixfigurehealthpro.com to learn more. Now do what you're told. Let's finish off Rick's questions, and then we'll get into the fat-soluble vitamins.
All right. But first, today's listeners, we'll get a free audiobook from audible.com. I'm waiting for you to say it.
Oh, I forgot my line.
Audible.com.
Audible.com, okay.
Just go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobooks for the details, so you guys can listen to TC's book.
Oh, yeah, that's on there, right on.
Yeah, it's on there. It's one of them. All right, what about if men take them? Talking about prenatal. What's so special about the prenatals? Is there a male equivalent of prenatals? How about multivitamins? We've already talked about multivitamins. Rick, go back to your first questions. I've never been that impressed by the major brands of multivitamins out there, but I've seen a whole food multivitamin that I'd be willing to take if worth it. Is there any research that says a good multivitamin is worth taking for those who don't eat the best diet? Not me, of course. Just asking for a friend.
Of course. Just asking for a friend, Rick. Yeah. So we talked a lot about those the prenatal stuff that he just asked right there. As multis for men, there are a few out there, and again, I've never recommended one, but when I've looked at them in the past, I always wanted to make sure that they didn't have iron in them for a man. What was the other questions that he had here? Whole food one. Yeah, we did talk a little bit about that, and you could fill in a little bit of holes, but you know, there was a whole food one that I thought that I liked, and then I looked at it recently and saw that it had like soy in it and stuff. I'm like, oh, well, that's no good. So I don't.
If you had a crap diet, I mean, wouldn't a good multivitamin help you though? I mean, if you said, I'm not going to eat better, but right, I'm going to take vitamins.
And I do think that at least the thought of a multivitamin would help. And if you had a good one, it would. But the problem that people see, especially when Rick's talking about the major brands out there, he's not impressed with them, and they're just horrible. So someone says, okay, I'm going to eat this crap diet, but I'm going to take a multivitamin. And the reality is that the multivitamin is hurting them more or the same as the crap food is. So, and it's putting them in this frame of mind of, it's okay for me to eat crap because I'm taking this multivitamin, when really both of the things that they're doing are not so great.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that a person needs to think about. And if they knew that the multivitamin was crap, they might think, oh, well, maybe I should just eat some kind of good food or try to get some kind of good nutrition somehow. Suck on some bone broth or something.
Bone broth. Bone broth's the answer for everything, y'all.
Sure, why not?
Bone broth.
Will, anything else on multivitamins or anything like that before we move on?
Other than what we already talked about of looking at your body chemistry and monitoring how they actually impact you and studying that to find out like what kind of nutrients you might need more or less of. For example, like if you fall into one of the imbalances, like the slow oxidizer, a fat burner, or the fast oxidizer, a carb burner that you talk about in your books and we talk about in our courses, then there's a set of nutrients that might be good for you to emphasize and a set of nutrients that might be good for you to sort of not necessarily eliminate, but maybe not emphasize. And that sort of list of nutrients was really distinguished through one of the pioneers in our understanding of metabolism, a man named Dr. George Watson, that he talked about in depth in his book, Nutrition for Your Mind. And in it, he outlines which nutrients are best to emphasize and avoid for the different metabolic types that he distinguished. So a general multivitamin is absolutely not taking that into account. So I could put a list of those nutrients that he laid out, so long as everybody understands that that doesn't necessarily mean that for sure they should follow those lists. If they fall into one of those two categories, they need to understand the other things going on in their chemistry as well and factor it all in. But that's one other issue that I have with multivitamins is it's not really accounting for any metabolic uniqueness from one person to the next.
Right. And I think to summarize, you know, it looks like both me and Will share the same view of that if somebody's taking a multivitamin and it doesn't have harmful ingredients in it and there's not like one of those ingredients that has huge doses, like if somebody's like, I'm going to put a huge dose of vitamin D in this multivitamin, as long as they're not doing that, I'm usually fine with them taking it if they feel like they benefit from it. But not once have I ever suggested to someone, you need to take a multivitamin.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I just had a great idea.
All right, good.
Since bone broth is the answer, I think I'm going to open a bone broth bar.
That's a great idea.
Just sell bone broth.
I saw one of those the
really?
Other day.
Oh, crap. I wanted to be the first.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how many crock pots you'd have to have?
It's a lot of crock.
Like 50 crock pots back
it's a
there.
Big crock.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get now into the fat-soluble vitamins. And we talked about the water-soluble vitamins last week. So let's just go through these one at a time and just talk about, you know, what they do, what they can be used for, or just other words we want to say about it. So I guess we go alphabetical. Let's go with vitamin A first. Will, do you want to start since Kenna has taken most of your lines today?
Oh, sorry.
Sure.
Or maybe we should start from Z and go backwards just to make sure none of us are drunk.
Oh.
There isn't a vitamin Z yet.
Oh,
but,
darn.
So let's just skip back to A.
Okay.
But it plays, you know, important roles in a number of different systems like reproduction, digestion, your bladder and your immune health and your eyes, your skin, also metabolism of steroids. And it's an important nutrient, but like vitamin D, you can also get too much vitamin A. You can get too much of any of the fat-soluble vitamins, really, but A and D in particular have the most known toxic effects if you get too much of them.
Right.
So normally the RDA, the official RDA for vitamin A, is around 900 micrograms for men or 700 micrograms for non-pregnant women, and around 800 if you are pregnant. So...
Yeah, especially with pregnancy, vitamin A is this kind of crazy thing where not only do you want to get good sources of vitamin A, but like it can cause a lot of problems if you don't get enough, and it can cause a lot of problems if you get too much.
Yeah, it is really, really important to have it in your diet. So do you include those food, like certain foods? I'm looking at a list of them that are rich in vitamin
Kale
A.
Kale is a big one.
Kale, turkey giblets, which is like the organs from the beef liver.
Seems like I have turkey giblets every day.
Ugh.
Well, you'll get that kind of stuff. It's probably in chicken too, if you make like a chicken soup. I'm not certain of that, but probably beef liver, carrots, spinach, sweet potatoes, pumpkins, collards, kale, winter squash, turnip greens, and sweet red peppers are all kind of rich in vitamin A. But you don't want to overdo that either.
Yeah, one of the common symptoms of a vitamin A toxicity level is hair falling out, like losing mm-hmm. your hair dramatically. And I've seen this with a couple girls, actually, where they really got addicted to like kale chips or like a kale salad that they were just eating like every day, like three or four times a day. And they just started to lose their hair. And once they stopped, they were fine.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. So don't be afraid of kale. This is just
I'm never eating kale again.
Right, they're just doing this in excess. All right, let's go to vitamin D.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, vitamin D is also really critical, but an interesting thing about it is it's actually a hormone. Yeah, it's a hormone that your body makes when it's exposed to the sun. And there's a couple of different kinds that are sometimes supplemented with. There's like D2 and D3. There's probably other Ds that I'm just not well educated enough to know about. But sometimes the one that we supplement with is not the same vitamin D hormone that we synthesize when we get exposure to the sun. So those are generally less bioavailable and not as helpful as the one that we make ourselves.
What if you're like a redhead and you have, you know, would you need a little more vitamin D because of the sun and stuff, you know? Does your body not make that? Or
it's a good question. I don't know if your hair color affects your... It definitely affects, like, or goes along with the amount of sun that most redheads can tolerate is different than, say, like an African or a
normal person, light human being.
Instead of a human being. Yeah.
So that I'm not sure, but I do not think that, like, especially if you are able to get out and have some brief full body exposure to the sun, like in a swimsuit or whatever, you can synthesize plenty of vitamin D within a short span of time when a lot of your body is exposed. Enough so that you get what you need from the sun without having to burn your skin.
Yeah, I think about the sun and I get blistered.
So keep in mind, too, that we have a lot that we like to talk about vitamin D, and there's a lot of problems that come with the doses that are being recommended in the mainstream right now. And so if you want to learn more about that, go to Kick It Naturally and put in vitamin D in the search box, and you'll find our whole episode just on vitamin D and why, number one, it's so crucial, because it's crucial for your ability to pull calcium out of the food that you're eating. So why it's crucial, but then why, when it goes into higher doses, it's severely problematic and can do things like turn off your immune system, which is pretty important. But at the same time, it's required for your immune system to function. So it's a freaky thing there. But the high doses seem to cause more or about the same amount of trouble as the lack of vitamin D would cause.
But that would be interesting for you and Will to research and is redheads.
Okay.
Because, I mean, not that you're going to have a run on redheads, but just for me. But, you know, if I was going to go out in the sun and I knew I was going to be at the beach all day, should I take more vitamin D? Would that help me not get as burned?
Oh, I don't think that would be the case. I think that you would be burned. But I think that your skin tone affects the amount of vitamin D that your body can produce. Mm-hmm. But if you're taking it, it's not going to, like, block the ability for any skin to be damaged or anything like that.
Okay.
That's my assumption or understanding of how it works.
Well, mark that on your to-do list to research,
okay,
Tony.
We'll see if Rick suggests it or not.
Okay, Rick, come on.
I mean,
on.
It's out of my hands.
A couple other little markers we often talk about with vitamin D is that, in addition to it being essential for calcium absorption from the food that you eat, it also raises your urine pH. So if your urine pH is already too high, which you would know if you have done any of the self-tests we talk about in our Almost Free Digestive Issues course, then taking vitamin D can actually make that issue worse. So you'll be more susceptible to some urinary problems, blood sugar instability, and also, it can too much vitamin D causes errant calcium metabolism. So instead of, like you said, that does have an impact of impairing your immune system function, but it also can pull excess calcium out of your bones and tissues that are meant to be hard and dense, like your bones, and end up leaving that calcium getting deposited in softer tissues, which makes your bones weaker and your soft tissues stiffer. So that's the opposite of what we want.
Right. And in that episode, we also talk a lot about why did my blood test show that my vitamin D's were so low? Mm-hmm. And there's other things that can cause your body to restrict the amount of vitamin D that it creates. And it's doing that on purpose, because the like high sugars can cause this problem. So the high sugars are already causing this problem, and if the body produced a proper amount of vitamin D, it would exacerbate that problem. It would make that problem much worse. So sometimes low vitamin D levels made by the body are on purpose, and you have to fix another problem instead of just cramming more vitamin D in the system.
Yeah, and that's it. That's a huge point, because I know so many people are like, they'll come to me and say, oh, I'm on this vitamin D because my blood levels were low, and they're just like, and their doctor said, take these 5,000, 10,000 IUs of vitamin D every day. And they're like, no, that just makes sense to me because my blood levels were low. And it's like, it's so important for them to understand like that your body is really regulating the amount of vitamin D that it wants to make on purpose, like you said, because of other factors. And it's similar to why sometimes an individual's thyroid might be underactive. Like, for example, say someone who's like trying to be as skinny as possible so they could be like a model or whatever, and they undereat and they develop protein deficiencies and other nutrient deficiencies, and their thyroid sort of downregulates their metabolism to accommodate for their malnourishment. And then they might go get a blood test and say, oh, look, my thyroid's underactive. So they get on a thyroid med, but they stay on their super malnourishing diet. And now they're just like, you know, pushing the pedal to the metal, so to speak, metaphorically, of their metabolism, while they don't have any gas in the tank. And that can create big, big problems.
Right.
That's really creepy to think of, like, what you were talking about, the depositing of the calcium and things, like making your things that are supposed to be hard, soft, like, so you have soft bones and hard skin.
Well, it's also, and well, one thing that's really important, like, think about this. All this calcium is in the right place where it's supposed to be, like in the tissues and in the bones. And when you take this high level of vitamin D, which is like a calcium magnet, kind of, it can pull the calcium out of those places, but then it floats around and then gets dropped in things like joints, where you don't want everything to harden up and basically calcify, and then you create issues like arthritis and stuff.
Does that what creates those little like calcium cysts sometimes?
Like calcium deposit kind
deposits,
of things?
Yeah, deposits, yeah, those things.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's not always due to vitamin D excess. There's a lot of things that can impair calcium metabolism, but vitamin D is one of them. Mm.
Okay, let's do, I think this will be your favorite, Will, to talk about is vitamin E. I know Ray Pete is very high on vitamin E. So why don't you say stuff about vitamin E, and then I'm going to tell everybody to calm down about it.
Yeah. I probably already agree with you, though, on your stance about it. Like,
but let's talk about the good things first.
Sure. The good things, it's a very powerful sequesterer of free radical damage, so it can help protect your body against free radicals and ultraviolet radiation and pollution and that kind of stuff, and helps with maintaining proper cellular differentiation and steroid metabolism. So it does a lot of really important things, and you know, Ray Pete, if you're familiar with him, emphasizes a lot of like particular nutrients that play certain roles. But at the same time, like, he doesn't make any specific recommendations for the general population. He doesn't say everyone should take all these things all the time in every case. But a lot of people read him like that. So vitamin E is one of those things that it is really essential to get in your diet, like all these other essential nutrients that we're talking about. But everything needs to be modified to suit the needs of the individual. And certain nutrients, while you do need some of it, if taken in excess, can cause other imbalances. Like vitamin D, correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, but I believe it also has the capacity to lower blood pressure a bit.
Yeah, in a really aggressive way, too.
Yeah, so that's a really not helpful thing. You still need some of it, but if your blood pressure is already low, or if it's in a normal range and you take a ton of it and it pushes it low, that's going to give you a bunch of different problems. So while it is important to still get some of it for the needs your body has of it, really pounding it just because anyone says so is a bad idea.
Yeah, I think like when we talk here, I think that we would be talking to Ray Pete readers and not Ray Pete himself. Because when anybody actually talks to Ray Pete, he's like, no, I wouldn't have people do that. You know, it's just that he's not as accessible as we might be. And so people read in when he's explaining the science of a particular vitamin, and they just interpret that as, wow, everybody should have tons of this. Yeah. But when you ask Ray Pete himself, he's like, no, don't do that. So I think it's important to understand that. And, you know, vitamin E can be so strong in helping some of these issues, like especially like hypertension. You put somebody with hypertension on a solid therapeutic dose of vitamin E, and you can bring their blood pressure right down. But you give somebody who's on antidepressants or, you know, dealing with depression or some anxiety or something, you give them vitamin E, you just ruin them completely because it's really pro-anabolic and it can really lower blood pressure aggressively. So it's one of those things where it's kind of like magnesium, where it seems like everybody needs magnesium and vitamin E and even maybe even in a supplemental form, but if you put either of those in a therapeutic level, then you're really going to ruin some people and really help others. So it really is about looking at what you're, where you are in your chemistry.
We're all snowflakes. I've said it before.
Oh, yeah. Ken have mentioned that before. We should have remembered that. We only have one left, and then we can wrap this show up.
No, we've already... Oh, one vibe. I thought you meant one question. I was like, we've already gone through the questions.
No, Rick is done. He's done with his part of the show.
Rick, you never get a question again.
The fourth show member. Actually, he already sent a couple other ones that were really good, and I want to do them.
Ah, darn.
I know. And you'll be excited to do one of them. I think one of them was caffeine, so we'll talk about that, too. Not today. Okay, so anyways, vitamin K is the last one. Do you want anything to say about vitamin K, Will?
Yeah, sure. So again, also essential, your body uses it to help with a lot of coagulation factors. So it can be like a blood thickener. It can help you sustain an injury. And if you are vitamin K deficient, then your body will have a much harder time forming proper coagulation. So if you got cut, you might bleed sort of indefinitely. And sometimes certain people are taking something like aspirin, which has a blood thinning effect and can interfere with the coagulation cascade. And then in response to that, I've heard like Benedict Lerica, who we've had on before, said that she would usually say that vitamin K and aspirin should be paired together to help balance out their competing influences on blood coagulating cascades. So there's sometimes more need for it because of your individual unique chemistry or because of something else that you're taking. But it's a pretty tricky thing, and overdoing it can make your blood more prone to coagulating, and that could be very, very, very lethal. So you want to like consult with your physician, a licensed healthcare practitioner, before you just jump on taking vitamin K and try to figure out how much you need.
I don't know any situation where I would have someone supplement vitamin K other than a baby that I would use, you know, vitamin K drops instead of the shot that they use. I'm not a big fan of the shot because of some problematic things that a lot of people believe. But, you know, dark green vegetables are a good source of vitamin K. So if you're including those in your diet, and guess what? Even beet greens have some vitamin K in it, and we do a lot of beet green stuff, especially in like beet flow. You can get it from your food if you're not eating ding dongs and vending machine food all day. If you're eating actual greens and stuff, it's one of those things that you're probably getting a good source of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we did a show. We did a show.
All right, cool. So if you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the almost free 4-week digestion course at kickitnaturally.com or head on over to Will's mybodyofknowledge.net. He's got a bunch of blogs, exercises, all kinds of stuff on there, pictures of himself, all kinds of good, informative, educational things.
Cool. We will see you next week.
Yeah.
Dap 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 da dap 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 dap.